Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Clear light. And if you'll find your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and focus on verse 14 with me for just a moment. We'll come to it in just a moment, but we are preparing our hearts to receive the sacred symbols of love of the bread and the cup. And in order to do that, I would like for you to travel with me today all the way to Madagascar, all the way to Mount Calvary, and into the inner sanctuary of your heart. About 2 weeks ago, it was my privilege to get on an airplane in Atlanta and fly to Amsterdam, from Amsterdam to Nairobi, Kenya. I stopped in Nairobi, Kenya to meet with our friend Tim Kearley, who's a member of this church, but he is also the head of the 700 missionaries that we have in the countries that are below the Sahara Desert in Africa, and there are 46 of those countries. And we're supporting these 700 missionaries, and Tim is coordinating their work. They meet on an annual basis, and I got to go to the meeting, along with some other trustees of our International Mission Board. Now, we met, and it was beyond exciting as we evaluated the progress. Tim has a theme called Shatter the Silence, and we are shattering the silence. Literally hundreds of thousands of people are coming to Christ in that sector of Africa. We then set some new priorities, and we prayed. We covered everything with prayer. It was a fabulous meeting. But when the meeting was over, our 9 trustees went to different sections of Africa to go encourage our missionaries. Well, my assignment, and I got it straight from Tim, because I love that Tim Kearley, my assignment was to go to Madagascar, along with another trustee, Dr. Dick Landry, who's the vice president of the International Mission Board. Dick is a physician from Lake Charles, Louisiana, and he's been to Africa over 20 times. So to say the least, he is a veteran traveler and a missionary doctor at heart. Well, we get on the plane and fly to Madagascar. Now, have you seen the movie? It's nothing like the movie. Let me go ahead and disabuse you of this myth. Madagascar ain't like the movie. Now, Madagascar is a really unique ecosystem. It's the 4th largest island in the world. It's in the Indian Ocean. It's 1,500 miles long. It's 300 miles wide. 80% of the plants and the mammals that you find there are found nowhere else on Earth. So it's this unique ecosystem. It's very much a rainforest. Some of it's 10,000 feet high, and the rest of it on the coast looks like Hawaii or the tropics or Polynesia. It is exotically beautiful. We have 18 Baptist missionaries there ministering to the 22 million people of that island. And in specifics terms, I want to introduce you to the Jones family. I want you to know Curtis and Holly Jones. I got on a little plane, a missionary aviation fellowship plane with Dick, and we flew to Sumbawa, which is on the northeastern coast. We flew in that plane 1,200 miles. That's a really long way for a little plane. And we met there at the Sumbawa airport, this fabulous couple that we're supporting. They've only been there for 5 weeks. They got there January the 5th. They're brand new missionaries. Let me tell you their story. They picked us up, and of course, being Baptists, what do? We went to eat. We eat as Baptists. So we went over to this restaurant, and they began to tell us their story. Holly's 28. She's a registered nurse. Curtis is 30, and he was the head of a rehab therapy business over in Kansas City, Missouri. Well, they both grew up in Christian homes, but they were both lightweights. They were nominal. As a matter of fact, here's what Holly said. She said, you know, I was the kind of person who I knew the Lord, but I would go partying on Saturday night, and I would just about get drunk and slink into the back row of church on Sunday morning. And my walk with God was really feeble until, she said, I went to college. And when I went to college, I met some passionate, hot-hearted followers of Jesus Christ. And they got me into a Bible study with them. And I started connecting the dots. And I began to understand as I studied the cross how much Jesus loved me. And she said, Jay, I finally got it, that if Jesus loved me that much, I was obligated to be controlled by His love and serve Him. It just added up. It made sense. So I started walking with Him, and I ended up marrying Kurt, and Kurt chimed in, told us that he had asked her to marry him not once, not twice, but three times. She was hard to catch. And he finally reeled her in, and once they started walking with the Lord together, they heard God's call toward ministry and missions. And off they went. They went through the process of becoming International Mission Board missionaries that we're currently supporting all the way in Zimbabwe, Madagascar. Well, when they got over there, they started doing what a missionary does, because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 that you are to go and find people of peace. Now, the area of Zimbabwe, Madagascar has virtually no Christian influence out in the bush area. And we call them unreached people groups, just like the people that we're dealing with in Senegal, the Ijmaa people. Well, their people group was the Betsi Sankara. And the Betsi Sankaras had no known believers. So they went out and they met a guy out in the bush about 3 weeks ago named Sleeve, S-L-E-E-V-E. So they took us after we ate to go meet Sleeve. And this guy is pure cool. Sleeve has a 150-watt smile. He was a believer. He's a man of peace. And they began to pour some truth in him, and he's become their translator guide. And they said, Sleeve, let's go out and shatter the silence. Let's shatter the darkness. Let's start telling people about Jesus. So Sleeve takes them to this village that he thinks will be very receptive. And they took us. So here we go. We get in their Land Rover or their Toyota vehicle or truck, whatever it was, and we go out on these roads that are hardly roads and tiny bridges, and we go on a cow trail, and then we go on a goat trail, and we come to this village. And it's during the rice harvest season. And so here we go off into this rice field, and everybody starts showing up. I mean, this looks like a scene from Jurassic Park. And we're walking down through the rice fields, and kids are coming out from everywhere, and they're giving high fives to Holly and to Kurt and to us. And we get down there, and we gather the people up and return to the village. Well, it's about now 5 o'clock, and the president of the village, the mayor, the chief, comes out. And now there are about 110 people, and they start welcoming us with gifts. I mean, this is just like out of the book of Acts. And they're welcoming the American missionaries. And I don't understand a thing that he is saying, but he keeps saying missionary, and I can kind of get that. And they start giving us gifts. They bring bananas. And then they bring vanilla pods. Madagascar is called a spice island. The finest vanilla beans on earth are harvested in Madagascar, and they give us these dried vanilla beans. And then they bring out a chicken. You know, you're just not in Madagascar unless you have your own live chicken to carry around with you. So they bring us chickens, and then they bring coconuts. And they bring these coconuts, and this guy whips out his machete, and he starts to chop off the end of a coconut so we can have coconut communion. Have you had that lately? I hadn't. So they chop off the coconut, and of course, you're obligated to take a swig. And then Dick, he's obligated to take a swig. And then after Dick and I both take a swig, we take a deep breath. Whoa, that was really strong. Man, I'm just full. I've had enough. Thank you very much. No more coconut needed. Well, so then they start drinking it, and they give some more speeches, and then it's our turn. After they give us gifts, it's our turn to give them a gift back. And the greatest gift of all is the love of Jesus Christ. So we began to give our testimonies, and we share God's truth, and Sleeve starts to preach. I mean, it is a moment. It's Acts chapter 29. This is the unreached people group of the Betsi Sankara, and they are receiving the Word of God, and we're building a relationship bridge to them. I mean, it was one spectacular moment, and y'all were there with me, because we're together as a team, shattering the silence, defeating the darkness. My friends, let me tell you what happened next. We have to head on back to Antananarivo, the capital city of Madagascar, and the next morning we're getting on our little plane. And as we get on that little plane and prepare to go, it just struck me. We're standing under the shade of that little wing, and there's Holly and Kurt and Dick, and the pilot is a guy named Josh Plett. He's from Manitoba, Canada, a wonderful brother in Christ. He's been flying those little planes for 7 years over in Madagascar, flying in missionaries. And Holly had given us a little care package, and it contained some breadsticks. And Josh had just picked up a ginger ale, kind of a larger ginger ale for him to drink as he flew. And I said, wouldn't it be sweet if we just decided to have right here communion? And Holly starts to tear up. She said, it's been over a year since I've had the Lord's Supper and communion. She said, that would be so meaningful to me. So standing under the wing, under the shadow of that small plane, I break that breadstick up into 5 pieces, and we distribute it. And Josh opens his ginger ale. And I talk about the common denominator of the Christian life. See, communion is what we have in common. And our ultimate common denominator, friend, is not our language, our culture, our country, our background, our politics. It's the cross. And it's the love of Christ. And so we talked about the body of Jesus. And then we had a common cup. It was ginger ale. I guess that will do. And we passed around that ginger ale, and it represented what Jesus had done for us as he shed his blood. We climbed aboard that little plane, and as Holly and Kurt brushed the tears away, we took off. Now, my friend, I'm here to tell you that God is doing a work in his world. And he wants to use me, and he wants to use you. But that will only happen if you activate 2 Corinthians 5:14. Would you come to it now? 2 Corinthians 5:14. You see, this is Paul's theme song. Paul, like Holly, connected the dots. He understood when he looked at the cross how deep and profound is the love of Christ. So he makes this declaration, for the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. You see, friend, that's what we're celebrating in these moments. We're celebrating his love. In just a moment, we will uncover this tablecloth, and we will serve to you a small wafer of bread and a thimbleful of grape juice. On the surface, these are almost meaningless tokens, but in reality, they are profound symbols of what Christ has done on your behalf. And if you will appropriately connect the dots, here's the result. You will be overwhelmed by his love for you. And you will be constrained. You will be compelled. You will be controlled by his love. Rush, Mark, would you uncover the table? And let me extend to every follower of Jesus Christ an invitation for participation. The scripture tells us that those who follow Jesus are now part of the called out. The Greek word is ekklesia. It's where we get the word church from, ecclesiastical. And the called out are those people who have affirmed that Jesus Christ is their Lord. In this church, we do not have closed communion. We have open communion. We invite any follower of Jesus to participate. In just a moment, our deacons will distribute the bread and the cup. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we should receive these deep and profound symbols of love with care and thoughtfulness and prayer. As a matter of fact, Paul makes an extreme statement. He said, if you are flippant and unthoughtful about receiving the bread and the cup, you can drink to yourself judgment. Now, I don't fully comprehend what that means, but I don't want to. And you don't either. You see, this is a sacred opportunity to be confronted with the cleansing love of Christ. So I want to pose to you again this question. What controls your life? What do you really worship? What are you passionate about? You see, the goal is for us to be controlled by the love of Christ. But if you're controlled by the love of money or the love of your job or even the love of your family, or maybe you're controlled by emotions like anger, fear, jealousy, competition, bitterness, maybe you're controlled by other people or other substances, then, my friend, you've made a bad trade and you stand on very thin ice. But you have a chance right now as you enter the chapel of your heart to change all that. You see, you have the capacity to invite God to take His love and cleanse you. Let's do that right now. Gracious Father, we want to do precisely as you have prescribed. Before taking these sacred symbols of your limitless love, the bread and the cup, Lord, we enter into the chapel of our heart and we invite you to turn on the searchlight of your Holy Spirit. And Father, if there is an attitude, an activity, a relationship, a reaction that dishonors you, Father, we ask that you help us discard it right now, because our true heart's desire is to be cleansed and to be controlled by your love. We ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And they took the bread.
Thank you.
And Jesus gathered the disciples for their final meeting in the upper room. They shared the Last Supper, which of course was the Jewish feast of Passover. The bread was an unleavened bread, but Jesus transformed its meaning. He said, "This bread is now symbolic of my body. And in just a little bit, my body will be brutalized. It will be beaten. It will be bloodied. It will be broken on the cross. And I've done this for you. So every time you touch bread, you should be reminded of the deep and limitless love that I have for you and the sacrifice that I'm making on your behalf." Earlier in John 6, Jesus explained, "I am the bread of life. Whoever partakes of that bread shall never die." And they took the bread. Then Jesus took the cup of the Passover, and he explained to the disciples that there would now be a new covenant written in his blood. We all know that our Bible is composed of two testaments, really two covenants, the Old Testament or the Old Covenant and the New One. In the New Covenant, here's what God would do. It's explained in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He who knew no sin would become sin on our behalf, that we could be made right with God." Jesus took that cup and he said, "This will be my blood." And every drop of his rich, royal, red blood was shed on that cross to show his love for me and you. So receive this cup for what it really is, not a thimble full of grape juice, but a profound expression of God's love for you. And they took the cup.
Sometimes the load is heavy, and sometimes the road is long, and sometimes, Lord, this heart of mine, it's not so very strong. And thy will be done, Lord, thy will be done. Now, Father, I do not ask you to take this cup from me. I only ask your guidance over paths I cannot see, and thy will be done, Lord, thy will be done. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now, Lord, I feel you near me. I feel your guiding power, and I know you're standing by me through every passing hour. And thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done.
Jesus said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, do so in remembrance of me. My friends, it's always my prayer that we won't simply take the Lord's Supper, but the Lord's Supper will take us, and we will connect the dots and relive again His love story for us. Could be today that God has drawn you to this place and time, and this is an opportunity for you to understand that Jesus loves you, and that if He loves you, you should give your life back to Him. Romans 5:8 puts it so simply. The Scripture says God has demonstrated His great love for us, and that while we were ugly, rebellious sinners, Christ died on your behalf. So how do you respond to that kind of love? You can turn your back and reject it, or you can run to Him and receive His love. Perhaps there's someone here today, and that's what you're ready to do. You are ready to commit your life to Jesus Christ. In just a moment, Chip will lead us in the singing of a closing hymn, our hymn of invitation. It's really God's invitation for you to follow Jesus Christ. I would urge you to leave where you're seated, come down one of these aisles, and by your coming, you're saying you are ready to follow the Lord Jesus. It is the best decision anyone can make. I would pray that you make that decision today. It could be that God has drawn you to join our church family. This is a very loving church family. It's a place of encouragement. It's a place where you will be called to Christ-likeness. And if God is inviting you to join this church today, why don't you come? Don't delay. Come down one of these aisles and join this family of faith. But here's the bottom line, friends. It's what Holly Jones said. It's true. Once you truly understand the love of Christ, you are compelled to be controlled by His love and to serve Him with your best. Let's do that together every day. Chip, would you help us? I invite you to stand, to sing if you need to. Won't you come and meet me here at the foot of the cross?
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me Jesus.
Thank you so much for your attendance today and your excellent attention. If you've yet to turn in this piece of paper, now's the time. Our ushers will come, and all you need to do is turn these in toward the center. And if you'll pass these in toward the center, we'll receive them from you now. It's another way you can register a spiritual decision and a commitment to Christ. Let me remind you about what we have going on tonight. At First Baptist this evening, we'll have discipleship training and a lot of special opportunities to grow your faith in the Lord. And then tonight, I hope you can come back. I want to do my best to present to you some mission stories, because they are not only instructive, but that they are inspiring, because God has a mission for you. He's got a mission for me. But I met some people that are worthy. They're worthy of emulation. They are true heroes. You know, we elevate people who are celebrities and sports icons, and it just seems like it's almost a joke. These people have personal lives that are so oftentimes a disaster. And yet these missionaries that I want to have you meet tonight, they are true heroes, heroes of the faith. So I hope you'll come back tonight and hear some missionary stories that will instruct and inspire. And lastly, may I urge you to please take with you this green brochure. If you leave it on the pew, you're wasting not only some paper, but you're wasting opportunity. Take this as a prayer reminder, because just down the street, about 4 miles from here, we have one of the greatest need areas in America, and God has given us an assignment to meet that need. Now, we can pretend like it's not there, but I don't think that's what the Lord wants us to do. Like the Good Samaritan, it's time for us to respond. We've been doing that for a long time. We know how to do it, and yet we're going to a new level, and we need your help. It's your opportunity. So take this brochure with you. Pray about how you need to be part of the solution. Kenny, would you come, my brother, and pray us away? Thank you.
Well, we pray together. Father, how we thank you for what we have experienced in this room today. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word, for your supreme sacrifice on Calvary for us. And may we be reminded that with each drop of blood, you are saying one, one, one. And may we be one in you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.